Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday.
How's it hanging?
We are on to Dolphins Week. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is a short week, so we'll be hearing from Sal Capaccio. Normally on a Tuesday, the Bills have off, but with the Bills playing on Thursday, we'll hear from Sal. We've already got some injury designations from yesterday. We'll get to that here in just a moment. But Bills are 2-0. The Dolphins are 0-2, and they do not look like they're in a good spot at all.
It could not be worse for them on the vibes right now.
And to be fair, this is not like a surprising turn of events. This is not something where the Dolphins came in with lofty expectations and are 0-2. You could argue Kansas City maybe is this, where you know you just made the Super Bowl, you got blown out, Kelsey's coming back because he doesn't want to leave on that note, and they're 0-2. But to be fair, they haven't been blown out in these games. They haven't even looked necessarily dreadful in the games. They're just 0-2, suspensions, injuries have played a part into that. But you look at the Dolphins, they came into the season with the expectations of, ooh, this may not be good. And it's just continued into the season. They picked up some injuries absolutely as well. They have not had a healthy defense since July. Most of their secondary is hurt, including guys like Storm Duck, who isn't even particularly good, but he's a backup. And now he did not practice yesterday. And going into Thursday night, it feels like this could be the end for Mike McDaniel there. With them not playing again until Monday against the Jets, they're going to have double-digit days, 10, 11, whatever it is, to, if they wanted to, fire McDaniel, get the interim going, and get the ball rolling on that guy's message going into a Jets game, another divisional game.
And the funniest thing about New England, Miami here, that their game against New England, there was a flash of, okay, maybe they can get themselves out of the depths. A punt return touchdown after some solid defending going on, and they take a 27-23 lead against New England back on Sunday. 12 seconds after they take that lead, They lose it for the rest of the day. Because they give up a kick return touchdown immediately. And it's like, oh, you guys just can't at this point. You can't. You cannot. Against a New England team that has relatively proven itself in the point of the roster's not ready. Tua has himself a halfway decent game. But he has another back-breaking turnover. When? When they're trying to come back after that kick return touchdown was yielded. You look at Miami and just think, and especially Tua in particular at this point now, and you're like, this is a guy who's going to be given top five quarterback money next year? Oh, boy.
And he's not even...
He's not even the root of the problem,
no.
I don't think. But it just shows when you have a bad general manager winning power struggles and continuing to be the general manager, this is how disastrous it can get. Because Chris Greer is a bad general manager.
He's been there 9 years? Almost 10? Something like that. He's been there around the same time as Chris Ballard's been with the Colts. And they've had moments where they've been flashy and fun and exciting, 70 points, what have you. But for the most part, they've been easily the second fiddle to the Bills, even in a year where the Bills struggled and were at what point, what, 6-6 in a season, struggling mightily. We got a Ty Dunn article coming out about you know how bad at times McDermott's been with the Bills, what have you, and it doesn't matter. On the final game of the year, the Bills blow out the Dolphins in Miami and don't even play particularly well either in the blowout. And for me on that, and coming into the Dolphins game this week, ultimately probably being the last time the Dolphins play in the current Highmark Stadium, this is likely the last time. They don't look like they're going to make the playoffs and make a wild card and you know, go against the Bills in that sense if that were to end up happening. This is, in all likelihood, the last home Dolphins game at the current Highmark Stadium. And for me, I've talked a lot about this, Derek, of just – you know, kind of growing to really love this rivalry. I grew up in the 90s or the late 90s, early 2000s, where both these teams were bad. Neither were really all that competitive. You have very, you know, small blips for both. I mean, the Dolphins don't go on a playoff drought, but, you know, they're small blips. The Bills have their kind of like weird years, but ultimately both are really bad and play very much second fiddle to the Patriots and even the Jets to a certain extent, who make two straight AFC championship games in that window. And so for me, it was hard to get the hate up. I didn't grow up during the Marino and Kelly days. I didn't grow up during the 20 straight losses. It was just a division rival, right? You didn't like them because they're in your division. You play them twice. Let's go. I'm all for that. But the last few years for me has both been like this weird understanding and loving the rivalry and really coming to appreciate it and looking forward to these games and what have you. But in that same breath, because the Dolphins have not taken that step forward, and if anything, has every time the Bills have taken another step forward and they keep retooling and chugging along, the Dolphins just seem to take another step back and another step back and another step back. Until now, I saw Nate Geary tweet out yesterday, like, you know, Dolphins fans usually have that, you know, starry-eyed, you know, look in their eyes.
A little bit of that.
In Bills games.
And
it's even, gone.
And it took 2 weeks. Because even heading into the season, there were enough Dolphins fans saying, no, we're fine. Everything's good. Why are they hating on us? There were enough of them doing that. And now you look at them and go, this is why everyone was hating on you. This is why you were being predicted to be disastrous. This is why you ended up opening the season 29th in power rankings, according to Mike Florio. Like, there's a lot of reasons why you're being picked to be a tire fire. And through 2 weeks, you have shown to be a tire fire. It's unfortunate for a neutral fan. I think for anybody here that ended up getting a little bit annoyed with the little brother complex that the Dolphins were forming to these Bills, you could care less. But the Dolphins vibes are so bad and so rough right now. You could even in Buffalo almost start to feel bad.
Almost.
I am picking my words precisely and carefully here. You could almost start to feel bad for them. If you are a more sympathetic heart, you would. But for the general Bills fan, it is getting so bad in Miami, you could almost start feeling bad for them. I know many won't. There's no love lost, especially with the older generations. They're here sitting down for the funeral in a suit and everything. They are the sharpest dressed people at the funeral of the Miami Dolphins' current regime. They're the Barry Allen meme at the tombstone.
It's exactly what it is. I mean, it's just there will be some who this is all they've ever wanted, right? Is to Miami to be completely in the dumpster, the Bills just running through them, the whole thing. And I won't disagree with you. And to be fair, Thursday night, be locked in. Can't wait to see a blowout. Hope to see a blowout. But the lead up to it is different for me now, of just being like, they should be 3-0. They're 12.5 point favorites. That might even grow as the week goes on. And for me, I've gotten much more to a point, and this is probably true for a lot of fan bases who just are constantly in the playoffs and the division rivals maybe aren't, is that you look far more forward to the playoff rematches. One of the Cowboys' biggest rivals is not even the division, it's the 49ers. Why? They're playoff matchups.
Right.
Yeah, they've got the hatred with the Eagles and the Commanders, and of course. Like, that's a very...
And there's enough hate to go around.
Yeah, that's a very hate-filled division. And you still have that. But a part of me was like hoping Bills Dolphins during this run here would be like 49ers Seahawks during the Legion of Boom and Jim Harbaugh stay there, where it was like it was two Titans clashing. It was game of the year stuff, the whole thing. And instead, that has actually become Bills Chiefs, Bills Ravens. All for that. Don't get me wrong. The Bills are still taking part in that. I just did want that semblance of it's the entertainment factor.
Yes.
I want my most hated rival to kind of match you a little bit in a way, to give you that excitement, to give you a little bit of that stress. And there's been close games.
You see them the most amount of times.
You're right.
Why not hate them?
And there's been close games last year. You have to have a Tyler Bass last-minute field goal. They almost lose to Skylar Thompson in a playoff game. But for the most part, it's been relatively easy for the Bills to walk through the Dolphins at times with impunity.
And even in the same year, last year, like, yeah, at home you needed the 60-yard field goal from Bass that ultimately gets the kicker's groove back. Hope he gets better soon. But the first game, it's not even close. Jamarcus Ingram has two picks and a pick six. And I think it's a combination of the Bills walking through Miami, especially in the win-loss column, and sometimes very much on the scoreboard too. Because, like, ready? The first time Miami seems like they're ready to start coming around and hanging out. The game against Buffalo. The Bills are playing backups after the first quarter. And Matt Barkley helps put Miami down as they were fighting for a playoff spot. They change coaches. And Miami is still second in command, so to say. And I think, honestly, the day it ended for Miami was the day that they hung 70 points on the Denver Broncos. That team peaked. And unfortunately, when you hit a peak, it is all downhill from there. The Bills, immediately the week after, put Miami in their place. After they score 70 points. And then the culmination comes from a couple of years ago. When the Bills are at 6-6, at a low point, we are legitimately wondering if the coach is going to get fired. The Ty Dunn article comes out. And what does Miami proceed to do? Wet their pants and give up the division and the 2 seed, culminated on Sunday Night Football. In a game where both teams wanted to lose that game in several ways and aspects. And a kick return touchdown, or a punt return touchdown, excuse me, helps Buffalo claim a lead that they would never relinquish from there. And Tua has one last chance. He throws a bad overthrow. And Taylor Rapp knocks the wind out of himself to win the game. That's where it all starts, with where they score 70 points and they're the future of the league. And then immediately the Bills are the team that puts you down. And the Bills are the one that take the division back from you after you don't claim it for yourself. And it is the combination of the direction these two teams are now going, plus these last few years, where it took players actively cramping in Miami to win one football game against them.
It feels like, and I know this almost sounds like a funeral, like it's not. I'm very happy the Bills are dominating the division. But in terms of somebody like myself who adores rivalries in sports, and that is a big aspect for me of loving sports. It's a big part of why I like college football, is the rivalries and the history behind them. Bills Dolphins has a lot of history. I want that to be another chapter in the book of these two teams. And this kind of now is just like, oh yeah, the Dolphins worked bad for around 30 years. And they went from getting just beaten up by the New England Patriots, having like every now and then a random win in Miami against Patriots teams that were simply far better. They still wouldn't make the playoffs. And they immediately followed that up with, and then they were curb stomped more aggressively by the Bills and Josh Allen. I mean, like these are oftentimes embarrassing games. As you mentioned, you have the 70-point game, and immediately they're blown out by Buffalo. Their highest of highs they had reached at that point. Doesn't matter. It barely lasts 10 days.
Doesn't even last 7.
No. Then they have the whole they can't beat any good teams. They are notorious. They almost become like the definition of, you know, a fair weather team. When it's warm, oh, they're amazing. When they're playing bad teams, oh, they look incredible. They play any good teams. They play in weather below 55 degrees. They're horrendous. We even saw this year already. Jalen Ramsey might not be a culture guy. Locker room doesn't love him, what have you. Goes to Pittsburgh the first week. He's making key defensive plays for them. There's a fire clearly lit under him. The Dolphins. Vic Fangio. I mean, run out of town. Goes to the Eagles, wins the Super Bowl that year. Defense looks incredible. But part of the reason why they win that Super Bowl as comfortably as they did was they made Patrick Mahomes look like a fool.
And their defense.
And they beat the hell out of him.
And their defense looks more steady than it was last year.
And Dolphins continue to flounder. They maybe have a historically bad defense. That secondary is horrendous. This is going to be a game, even with it being a Thursday night, you'll probably hear fantasy football experts saying you might want to start like a Keon Coleman, a Josh Palmer, a James Cook, like really lean into this. This is a bad defense by the Patriots. They look awful. Now, credit to Daniel Jones. He's done this two straight weeks, but they made Daniel Jones look infallible week one.
Mm-hmm.
And then this week, Ramondre Stevenson is putting up
right.
like Marshall Faulk levels of total yards. Drake May is dropping dimes. They're a team that doesn't really have much talent. And now you got Buffalo at home on a short week in which the Dolphins kind of can't fix any of their issues. And the Bills, while they have injuries, they're all on the defense. Their offense is pretty much completely healthy outside of Josh Allen having maybe a broken nose. We actually don't know for sure on that because McDermott was kind of, you know, a little bit playful and like, what is actually wrong there? It's just this has all the feelings of Bills fans will love it and we'll love it because it'll make Friday really fun. But this is all the makings of by the third quarter, most of America's turned the game off.
And there was also even a vibe check from a now Bills practice squad edition. Jordan Poyer brings up that he always had his eye on this place, even when he was actively starting in Miami. And I know that that might just be a player's affinity for, you know, the city that he really established a career with. But if you have a locker room that's able to allow you to live more in the moment, you wouldn't be saying that publicly.
Yeah.
And they don't have a locker room that allows you to be in the moment and lock in. They don't. The only reason they were in contention for the seventh seed last year is because teams refused to claim it. Denver required Kansas City sitting everybody. And even then, Miami still would have been the first of the three teams eliminated.
Yeah.
Because Cincy won.
Mm-hmm.
And then Denver won. And Miami still would have been out of it. They're a hapless team that there is no bright future right now. Because of the damage that has been done. And again, for Chris Greer to have been the general manager since 2016, he's overseen three coaching changes. He should not be able to see a fourth.
No, I mean, that would almost feel like
he should be
unprecedented.
Honestly,
stuff.
Between the two of them, he should be the first one to go between him and Mike McDaniel.
Yeah, I think that's probably right, yeah.
And that's why I was punching air during the draft, because he actually made a good draft selection.
Right. We were both big. I mean, I was a huge Kenneth Grant guy. You came along for the ride with that one. And
then I'm inconceivably upset because Miami decided to actually make a good draft pick. And I'm like, now you decide to do this? Now Chris Greer decides to actually do something smart? Because of the fact that he has been here for 9 years. And again, he's seen three coaching changes. He's been in charge of three coaching changes. Maybe if you're changing through three coaches in your tenure, maybe the problem's you.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number two call. We will have Sal Capaccio at 11:30. It is also a Tuesday, so we'll have our primetime performers coming up at 11. But Well, we've got some time here. Again, number to call, 803-0550. Your thoughts on Bills-Dolphins, the rivalry. Does it still have the same juice for you with the Bills dominating as much as they have over the last few years? The Dolphins really taking a step back, and we'll go to the phones. We'll get connected to our fans. Izzy is with us first on this segment. Izzy, how are we doing today?
All right. Let me put this into a little bit of perspective. I've seen every Miami loss in the 70s, the first two in 70 and 71 in the rock pile, and the rest of the 70 in a brand new stadium. This rivalry for me will go on forever until we beat them 20 games in a row. And I don't have too much time left because I'm getting a little bit older. Mm-hmm. So you could figure this out. But anyways, for me, I love it. I love it. I love it. I mean, because this is, you know, every time I go to a Miami game, it was wonderful. It was myself and a couple other of my friends saw Joe Cribbs make a, you know, a touchdown in the fourth quarter to beat him in 1980. So I'll tell you guys, it goes on and on. That's the reason that the hatred for Miami existed. The other important fact is in the 70s, if the Bills would have won one of those games, they would have been in the playoffs with OJ. So what do you think, guys?
Yeah,
Izzy beat him 100.
I think that's fair, though, Izzy. And Izzy is that fan, Derek, I mean, you were talking about before we went on today, of like, that's the fan I know, the hatred will always be there.
And that's why I chose my word words carefully, because you, a fan like Izzy, like he basically said on that, of like, you could almost start to feel bad. But also, Izzy, if not for that one game in 2022, they've won 13 of the last 14 against Miami. So the number is actually not that far off.
They're starting to actually get close. And like, so I that's the thing, but like, Izzy is that fan that I think about of like, the hatred runs deep. Like,
he's sharp dressed at the funeral.
Right. And it's because it's like, no, I was there in the really bad times. You look, though, funny enough, at like the decade breakdowns of this rivalry from the 60s to the 2020s, the Dolphins only have a winning record in the 70s and the 80s. 70s, of course, it's 20-0. 80s, it's 11-9. But the 90s, the Bills lead that 15-9. In the 2000s, it's a tie, 10-10. 2010s, the Bills lead it 12-8. And in the 2020s, the Bills obviously lead it now 10-1. And Derek, you've mentioned that they've won 13 of the last 14. They are dominating this team. Dolphins do have their Super Bowl, don't get me wrong. Super Bowls, don't get me wrong. It's just, I think there is maybe this disconnect for certain fans. Like for me, like where I sit with this rivalry, I've loved that it's come back in recent years where both teams were good, competitive, right? And then the matchups had a little bit of juice to them. I do think that the rivalry is losing a little bit of juice because of how bad the Dolphins have been. I will say, though, I can understand where someone like Izzy comes from, because I look at the Patriots and I hope they get everything wrong.
Right.
I hope everything is a struggle for them. I hope, and this is coming from a Drake May fan from North Carolina, I hope they nailed the quarterback and get everything else wrong around them. And they have to go through that painful process like the Bengals are going through right now of, we have the guy and we're screwing it up. That's what I want. And that comes from growing up of just, you were the doormat to the team of the century.
At least a decade of,
yeah.
You did not touch them.
Yeah. So I understand that completely. I wish I felt that way for the Dolphins. I haven't gotten there yet, and in part I haven't gotten there because they haven't tested them at all. They just haven't.
And oddly enough, you don't really hear it from Dolphins fans. Like, mm-hmm. You do hear it from some Dolphins fans, or at least enough of them, like, they start to hate Allen more than Brady now. Why? Because you're barely touching them. On the scoreboard in the win-loss column, it's not even close. It's, quite frankly, disgusting.
I mean, it's Uncle Josh beating up on his nieces and nephews on Thanksgiving. That's what it is. It's we're playing backyard football, and it's little kids trying to beat up their 30-year-old
uncle.
Thank
you for adding context.
Like, I mean, that's what it is. That's what this has all been. It's been little kids playing backyard football with the grown-ups, and the grown-ups are like, I'm going to humble you here.
We're going to have some fun. You know what it is? It's the mascots playing the kids.
The mascots playing the kids. It's what it's been even before Josh's ascension.
And yet, oddly enough, four of the last six Bills wins against Miami have been one-score games.
But a lot of it has been you physically can't stop that guy. 803-0550, the number to call. Your thoughts on the Bills-Dolphins rivalry, with it being Dolphins week. The Bills do play them on Thursday night. Potentially the final time Dolphins will be at the current Highmark Stadium. We'll get a word in with Sal Capaccio at 11:30. Bills do not have off today, with it being a short week. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour number one rolls along here on a Tuesday. Coming up at 11, we'll have our top five primetime performers. It was a hard list to get here.
We had a lot of internal struggles.
It was a hard list. It's 2 weeks in, and already I'm like, oh boy, like who do we put to the honorable mentions? Who's left off entirely? I had a struggle last night into this morning. Monday night doubleheader, though, Derek, last night. Real quick thoughts on this. I saw almost none of the Chargers-Raiders game. I saw about the first quarter, and I was like, I got to get up early. I'll check the box score later. Tampa-Houston was a ball. And it was not like an aesthetically great game. It was not two juggernauts going back-to-back.
It was drama-laden, though.
It was drama. Baker Mayfield, you thought initially, on the not the fourth-down scramble, but a scramble a little bit earlier in the game, you thought maybe he hurt himself. And he hurt his knee. Nope, he's just jawing at Gardner Johnson.
And of course, it's Gardner Johnson.
You know, watching both those defenses too, and the Bills play these teams back to back. I heard that on Howard Picks the Bills this morning. You know, I also kind of just remember that too. I'm like, oh yeah, they're going to play these teams back to back. That's fun. Both defenses are super fun. I mean, they just come at you in waves. In a certain extent, though, watching Houston, there is a little bit of like a, we're just throwing everything at you, and if it screws up, it screws up, but we've got talent to make up for it. Where Tampa, it felt much more deliberate in how they're doing things.
It is more methodical.
Yeah, and Baker Mayfield, outside of Josh, outside of like the big three in terms of watchability, like, yeah, Mahomes, Lamar, Allen, they're super watchable, they're super fun, and it's just kind of objective at this point. I don't know how you don't enjoy watching Baker Mayfield play football. And I appreciate him so much more now that he's not in Cleveland. And I can just, as an NFC quarterback, I can just watch him and love every second of it. Like, even my Texas bias is not getting me like to like hate Baker Mayfield. I thoroughly enjoy watching him play football. Is he perfect? No. But I really enjoy watching him.
But Mayfield can deal. And that's the thing. He's also been very good over these last couple of years. And Tampa has recognized we do need to, in order to get the best out of him, supplement him with talent. And it's working. It's working. That's the thing. And then Baker sometimes does things, though, where
He gets a little loosey-goosey every now and then.
Sometimes he gets a little loosey-goosey, but then he makes plays where you're like, that's why Cleveland took him number one overall.
The fourth down scamper. There's no reason he gets
fourth
that.
And 10, he gets 15 yards, escaping the pocket, running around, and is he perfect? No. You get him to his left, it's a little uncomfortable. Still. But if you give Baker time, or if you chase him out and he's rolling to the right, it's where he's at his most dangerous.
Yeah.
And Tampa Bay said, nope, we're going to keep drafting him some talent. Here's Emeka Buka.
And I think that's the thing, too, is like Tampa is so underrated in terms of like the best run organizations in the sport. Even when they got Brady, that was Peyton Manning going to Denver. He went to a ready-made roster that just needed a quarterback. Brady does the exact same thing with Tampa. And you've seen them continue to do that post-Brady. Have they gone to another Super Bowl? No. And look, they lost to Jaden Daniels last year in the playoffs. But the year prior, they beat the Eagles. And this year already, they're off to a hot start of maybe, what, winning their sixth straight NFC South title? You know, they beat Atlanta week one. It's great. And they're off for the races. Baker has fully flourished into this 4,500-yard passer. Now, I mean, with Cleveland, it was actually you don't want him to pass the ball too much. We want to keep his passing attempts low. Tampa's like, screw that. Why? Why would we do that? He's one of the better passers in football. And it works for them, and you're right. Like, they just bring in more talent. Mike Evans and Chris Godwin get older. Cool. Emeka Buka, welcome to the show. Ryan Miller, we're going to bring him in. Kate Otten, we're going to bring him in. Bucky Irving. Bucky Irving is a joy to watch as well. It's just they're chock full of talent. They're not going to be, I think, a 14-win team, but I don't think anyone would be stunned if Tampa Bay wins 12 games and are in the NFC Championship. I don't think anyone would be surprised by that.
And the thing is, oddly enough, like I didn't realize this, that until he got to Tampa, he had yet thrown for 4,000 yards in his career. So Tampa does, in addition to getting him on the cheap initially, they unlock him.
Mm-hmm.
This year looks like more of the same. And again, playing through that shoulder injury in 2022 was the end of Baker Mayfield with the Cleveland Browns. And it is a shame because he is talented enough. Like, you don't get taken first overall for no reason. And Mayfield, in that quarterback class, no less, also has the intensity that not many under center can match.
No, I was talking to people on Twitter last night, and the best way I can describe it, well, and this listener also was like, you know, he's always had that swagger about him that is really alluring, and it is. I put it this way. Yeah, he's always given off the vibe that he could go 12 rounds with Satan and on his day could beat him. Like, he's always given off that vibe, that he has just this unrelenting confidence in himself. And I think, though, the end of his time in Cleveland maybe cracked that facade a little bit. Now in Tampa, no. It's all the way back. He's a joy to watch. And I like that he's in the NFC because I can fully appreciate it. I'm not sitting here, like, you know, looking in the rearview mirror going, oh, hell.
God, like, could you imagine if he was still in Cleveland?
Right. There's a fourth one now. You know, C.J. Stroud, we've already kind of gone through that, although it's been a little while since his all-time rookie
year. His shine has
diminished. But, I mean, yeah, could you imagine Baker's in Cleveland and they're still cooking and that went okay, and now they've unlocked it. Yeah, I so I can fully appreciate them over in the NFC with a Tampa team that I really enjoy watching as a neutral fan. 803-0550, the number to call. Speaking of Florida teams, Dolphins week for the Bills. The rivalry, where do you sit with it after years of dominance for the Bills here? They're 10-1 in the 2020s against this Dolphins team. Mike McDaniel may be coaching his last game for the Dolphins, especially with them having a little bit of a stretch here before their week four matchup against the New York Jets. We'll go back to the phones here. Tim is with us next up. Tim, how are we doing this morning?
Hey, guys. Good morning. I appreciate you, as always, having me on. I just wanted to call because the previous caller talked about, you know, the rivalry from the 70s, and I'm on the opposite side of that coin. I'm a Bills fan since early 2000s, born in 93, so I didn't live through any of that back trauma. But, man, my Dolphins hatred is still the same. I just, for whatever it is, the coach with his stupid T-shirts, you know, putting his hand up as a Dolphin, saying, you know, wish it was colder, to their fans basically having us blame the sun for the reason we lost, all that stuff. I really think the common denominator of my hatred is because of the social media era.
Oh, yeah.
Because I go through my Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, and all I have is like 30 bookmarks every single year just ready to fire off. Because every single time you hear a Dolphins fan open their mouth, it's like when they draft like guys like Channing Tindall and they say, oh, this is the Josh Allen stopper or whatever, and it just blows up in their face, and I could not be happier. Long story short, I will be absolutely hate-watching on Thursday. I will be front row to the funeral, dressed better than the previous caller. I promise you that. And then And then lastly, I do want to say, though, I don't think that McDaniel will get fired on Thursday, no matter how it goes, because in his defense, isn't a better test of when you actually fire someone maybe the next week against the Jets? Because if we're just being honest, like, 12 points doesn't even seem like enough for the Bills to cover. And, you know, I think they're going to get blown out, but I don't know. What do you guys think? Isn't the following week with the Jets a better actual test? Like, if they drop that one, then you got to fire them, right?
Yeah, Tim, I like that point there. I do want to get to your social media point, though, because I think that is something to bring up there. But in terms of McDaniel, the reason I look at it, and this is also kind of right to it, is that it's a primetime game. The vibes are already low. You're 0-2. And you mentioned the spread there. It might even go higher for the Bills. It's right now, the last I checked, 12.5. It could go higher. And if you're embarrassed on the national broadcast, if you don't even look competitive against your biggest rival and the team that you were chasing during this coach's entire tenure, that's where I think it's just, okay, yeah, it is time to pull the plug. You've got time before the Dolphins game. With that being said, though, Dolphins is a Monday night game. It's also a primetime game. And let's say Jets are fine week three, whatever. They may be in lose themselves. It's 2-0-3 teams. But Justin Fields looks like he did week one, and right, the Jets win that. And McDaniel's still there. I think that's right. I think really the next 2 weeks, I think one of these weeks he's getting fired.
You've looked at it, though, on the practical standpoint of there's 11 days to the next game, which makes the most sense in this. I also look at it as Chris Greer has already had to fight to keep his job in a power struggle with Brian Flores. I would imagine he pulls shenanigans early to do so. You get embarrassed the first time on national television, try to get rid of him, see if you can at least look better against the Jets and go, see, it was a McDaniel problem.
I wonder if they're tied at the hip now, though, where this is Ross going, you're both gone, and we're just game, we're going to start over.
And again,
kick the can down for this season. We're 0-3, 0-4.
If I'm looking out for my own job,
right,
and there's someone dangling on the rope underneath me and I have a chance to cut it, you think Chris Greer's not cutting the rope?
No, I mean, like, yeah, you're right. Like, this is where, like, the politics come in for in sports organizations. And for many aspects, the GM is sort of the face of the organization in terms of internally. Like, they're kind of the boss. They kind of, you know, they push all the buttons. They make sure, you know, the machine keeps moving. And Greer's been there longer than McDaniel. And you mentioned, like, he's already, this would be his fourth coaching change since he's been there.
Right.
I look at it in the practical sense. I could absolutely see this too. Like, they could get blown out and maybe McDaniel stays in the Jets game, especially because that one's at home. If you get blown out there for Monday Night Football, you get the booze. That could absolutely be kind of like, okay, enough is enough. I also look at it too. Really, for me, I think this is it for McDaniel. I do think he is gone before the end of the year. In part two, I can't see him being the head coach if they're this bad, if it continues. Week 11, when they're in Spain, where it's, again, national broadcast. Everyone's watching you. How bad is this going to be again?
Oh, God.
I can't really – there's a few spots here with the Dolphins. And in part, it's because of what the vibes came into the season like. It's a lot like Bill O'Brien a number of years ago when he got fired from Houston Texans early in that season. But the vibes going into that year were already really low. And I think he made it like 3 weeks before he was axed.
Yep. This would technically be 3 weeks.
And so that's where I could really see it. Has it all been McDaniel's fault? No. And I think both of us have agreed. You could argue, and don't get me wrong, I think the shine on McDaniel is really worn off. I think he needs to go back to being a coordinator and really hunker down, because from what I see, again, this outside looking in, I don't think he connects with NFL players at all, outside of he's very smart offensively and knows what he's doing as a coordinator. But I think as a head coach, he really loses it quite quickly.
Yeah.
But a lot of the problems have actually been roster construction. And they're a soft football team. They're a soft football team. They don't like playing in cold weather. Without it, they can't run their offense. They've got guys that would much rather, it seems like, enjoy the Miami lifestyle than rather be NFL football players. And that falls on Chris Greer. And so that's where I also do think they're tied at the hip, because at this point, it's just not working. And it's not going to start working. That's maybe the worst part if you're a Dolphins fan, is if they do keep going down this road, you're just wasting everyone's time. 803-0550, the number to call. Sal Capaccio joining the show at 11:30 as the Bills will be back on the practice field today. We haven't even mentioned some of the Bills' injuries. We'll do that when we come back. We're also taking your calls, 803-0550, the number if you want to join the show. Give your thoughts on the Bills-Dolphins rivalry. Where do you sit with it? Is this rivalry losing its luster? Or, regardless of what age group you're sitting in, with both Izzy and our last caller there, doesn't matter, baby. The hate runs deep. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, you're listening to WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And Smith expects to be busy tonight. They fake it to him, and Smith throws and just picked up. In fact, on a carom, it's into the hands of Taylor Henley. A dangerous throw, and on the carom, the lead linebacker for the Chargers has a takeaway in the first play.
Game number two of yesterday's Monday night doubleheader. That is Geno Smith, one of his three interceptions.
Fowler wasn't wrong.
No.
He said Geno was going to be busy.
Yeah, he's busy. He's busy.
Wrong type, though.
By the way, Raiders also, the one of the two like really exciting things about them was Brock Bowers, of course, second year. What is he going to do? And Ashton Jeanty.
Oh, boy.
Jeanty so far has not run for 50 yards in a game.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, 43 yards. Week prior, 19 attempts, 38 yards. It has not started off well. He also had a really bad pass pro rep that I didn't see live. I turned this game off after about the first quarter. I had to go to bed, but it was really bad. And I'm like, oof, that's not off to the greatest start. None of the rookie running backs, it feels like, are off to great starts. Travion Henderson's barely getting anything going with New England, and then Amarian Hampton. Same thing with the Chargers. The Chargers, funny enough, with Greg Roman, are throwing the ball, and they're throwing the ball incredibly well. Chargers win that game 20-9, and Justin Herbert continues his very hot start to the year. 70 completion percentage, 242, and two touchdowns. Quinn Johnston, 3 for 71, and a touchdown, that touchdown being a deep ball. Real quick, also, Bills injuries. We have not gotten to mention them yet today. With it being a short week, Bills practice yesterday, albeit in a walkthrough. Two players did not practice. Ed Oliver, as he continues to recover from that ankle, and then the newest addition, Matt Milano, with a pectoral injury. We do not know the severity of that yet. We'll probably get more today. Sal Capaccio will join the show at 11:30. And a reminder, as we do talk about the injury report, it is the Barnstrom Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnstrom Injured for Help. Call 1-800-8-MILLION. Also had three players limited, Taron Johnson, Cam Lewis, and Shaq Thompson. And then good news for Jordan Hancock. He was a full participant yesterday. I will say, though, Derek, and in part why we haven't really brought up the injuries actually all that much, I wonder how much of a role it will play in this game.
And the answer I'm probably going to give you is not much.
Yeah.
Because the Bills are going to do one of two things here. Typically when they play Miami in primetime, it's not pretty for the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to go one of two ways. Either that, or the Bills win another one-score game.
Yeah. Also, real quick note, too, on the Dolphins' defense as well. Their defensive rank through 2 weeks, 26th in the league. Specifically, their third-down defense, 30th in the league.
Considering Buffalo's numbers probably recovered a decent amount from
they did.
Sunday.
They did.
Probably by an extreme that we're not ready for.
Well, and so I'm going to say this.
Say it.
Know that the Dolphins, or excuse me, that the Jets were 0-11 on third downs. Bills' third down defense is first in the league.
Yeah, there's an overcorrection that's happening that kind of puts a little bit to the median. That's ridiculous, though. 0-for-11.
And then real quick here before we take our next time out, Tim, I did want to mention his social media point here.
Yes.
On that. That is something that has got the rivalry going for me. Like, that was the thing. It was yes, the teams are closer. That was the thing. My point, though, is I'm not the bookmark person. I'm the one that rolls my eyes constantly.
And
so when Nate Geary said yesterday, like, there's got, you know, Dolphins fans usually have that starry-eyed look. For me, it was always, okay, what are we doing here? Like, we're making things up for Dolphins, like, as Dolphins fans. We're making things up to try to, like, convince ourselves this will be the time we finally get them.
I've got the Hard Rock Twitter account tweeting, we need to have a conversation, and it's got Daniel Jones next to Josh Allen.
Yeah.
And it's like, do y'all ever let up? Like, and I get it. The reason is you've lost 13 of the last 14. I understand why you got to be annoying. Because you keep getting effectively pushed down the stairs.
But at a point, like, I don't even get mad. I just, like, I roll my eyes. I'm like, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
You're still a 12.5-point underdog. Like, enjoy. Another draft. Get excited. Oh, no, that sucks. They weren't good? No, that's a shame. That's a shame. Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, spending what, 25% of your cap on two wide receivers didn't help you? That's a shame. That sucks. It's just, in every way, the Bills have done it right and have gotten it right. It seems like the Dolphins have done the exact opposite. And now the chickens have come home to roost as the Bills are into their second year of their quote-unquote retool, and they are one of the Super Bowl favorites. The Dolphins are well on their way to maybe being out of a GM and a head coach before the bye. 803-0550, the number to call. Coming up next, week two, top five primetime performers. It was a difficult week. We got there, though. We also got some honorable mentions as well. And then at 11:30, Sal Capaccio will join the show, give us a look in on what to expect with this short week. The Bills already had practice yesterday, albeit in a walkthrough. They'll have practice later this afternoon as well. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. And this is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.